We've been studying out of the book of Peter fairly consistently throughout the beginning of this year, and certainly as we look at the different subjects from that first epistle of Peter about the grace and the peace of God and about the inheritance that we have in heaven and all of that that's reserved by the very power of God Himself, and the idea that we can greatly rejoice even under significant trials and tribulations because of the genuineness of our faith, which is much more precious than gold that perishes. And so, you know, we keep these things in mind as we think and preserve them in our hearts, and that's really what we're going to be talking about this evening. If you'll turn over to the book of Deuteronomy, and we will do a little bit of reading there and get into the lesson this evening, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're going to be reading verses 15 through 20. Deuteronomy 30. Verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish, that you shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and your length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. As you think about those words, and you know, the Lord is talking about what He wants from the people. He's giving them an offer. He's opening up a choice for them. And it really all has to do with the choice that they make, what they decide, whether they're going to choose life or death. But the most important thing is that they must decide to place God in their hearts over and above all. And there's so many people in the world that we live in today that actually live with unsecured hearts. So many people today, their heart isn't attached to anything in particular. They can go this way or that way. They don't understand. They're not on a stable road that leads to somewhere special. And so as we look at our lesson and we think about what's going on, and there's something called the unsecured heart, and it's like an unsecured loan where you don't have anything attached to that loan. No, nothing possessive, nothing of any value, no collateral. There's no loan, tied to anything physical. The trust, the idea is that they're trusting you to pay them back whatever you borrowed, and if you default on the loan, of course there's gonna be recourse, and the recourse will be through collections, it'll be through the law and the courts. And so what we want to do is really focus on the idea of having a secured heart. An unsecured heart, like an unsecured loan, isn't attached to anything. There's nothing of value out there to motivate that heart. A heart without substance. It's a heart that's not tied to anything of value. A heart without direction. A heart that it's like a loan. Our heart fails recourse, collection, according to the law. And of course, in this case, the law is going to be the law of the Lord. And unlike that loan in the court systems, God is going to be the judge. Not me, not anybody else in this world, not even ourselves for ourselves. Jesus, you know, in the book of John chapter 12 verse 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me rejects him who sent me, and he who rejects the words that I speak has one who judges him in the last day. The words that I speak will judge him in the last day." So Jesus has appointed a day to reconcile all that's in our hearts and all that we choose to do or not do, and the day in which he will judge in righteousness the man whom he has ordained. And on that particular day, God will indeed judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, Paul says, Romans 2 and 16. And again, the Lord himself says he will judge his people. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's what we read in the book of Hebrews. And so we cannot afford to have an unsecured heart. So many people, and I believe many Christians and many people that are in denominations, people in the world, they just simply, their heart is not firmly attached to anything. It's like the song that we just sang, Robert sang that wonderful song, "We have an anchor for our soul." And if that soul slash our heart isn't anchored, it's just going to drift off and be blown from here to there with every wind of every doctrine. So we can't afford to have an unsecured heart. We need a heart of faith. We can't have a heart without substance. And of course, the value that we attach to that heart is God's precious word. And certainly if we don't do that, we will fail. I want you to look, while you have your Bibles there, let's go over to the book of Psalm 111. And there's 10 verses there, and we're going to just read through those, and hopefully we'll get something there. Psalm 111. The song, of course, begins with "Praise the Lord." I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Keep that in mind. In the assembly of the upright, in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice, or truth and justice. And all his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people, and he has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Verse 10, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. The Lord God has promised he's going to send us redemption to his people. He's going to send Jesus Christ into the world. And the whole thing is declared through justice or verity. Verity and justice and all the commandments of God, everything that we must store in our hearts, whether it just be the description, the wonderful description of God, or whether it be something of the nature of his commands, and even in the New Testament, those things need to be in our hearts. And that's what secures our hearts. That's the anchor through Christ that holds us, that moors us tightly to that which cannot be moved. Remember verse 7, the works of his hands are verity or truth and justice, and all his precepts are sure and they stand forever. We know in this text Jesus is coming. We know that God is sending the Redeemer. We know that justice and truth are his, and we know that he will eventually judge the world. So as we think about this and we go back to remembering what it says there in Deuteronomy, let's remember that in Deuteronomy, what God did primarily is he set some decisions before us. The decisions there in Deuteronomy 30, verse 16, to walk in His ways and be blessed. That's an option. He wants us also in verse 17 to turn your heart from turn not your heart from His way, and not to hear Him. And we know that there are things in this world that will grab that heart and pull on it and tug on it. It's like the storms of life, and they'll cause us to turn away. They'll cause us to perish. And you have a choice, life or death. So that's what God's given us. And then He says in Deuteronomy 30 that heaven and earth are our witness. And so we have that option to choose either life or and a blessing, or we can choose death and cursing. Your choice. And I like that. You know, you can have it your way, and you will have it your way, because no matter what happens in life, there's going to come a time when you'll have to stop saying, well, He did it. There's a time when you'll have to stop saying, she did it, or He made me do it, or I really didn't want to do that. It's all going to come to an end one day. And it'll be your choice, the choice that you made throughout life. You're going to choose blessings and life, or you're going to choose death and cursing. And the choice that you make even this very day has everything to do with what's going to happen in eternity. And so let's keep these things closely in our minds. Verses 19 through 20 of Deuteronomy 30, He says, therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life. Again, we're talking about securing the heart, the everlasting word of truth. How pure is every single page of the Bible? That holy book that we have in our hands, in our possessions, you know, it guides the youth, it guides the old, it doesn't matter who you are, it supports us well in whatever age we're at. And the reason is because it was written by the breath of God. It's timeless. It's a living and powerful and viable word. Psalm 119 and 140, your word is a very pure, He says. Therefore, your servant loves it. We need to look at God's word in that way. It needs to be something that's very pure to us. It's something that we realize that, you know, we're such a small people, spiritually speaking, in the whole scheme of all things. And yet, God doesn't forget us, and we shouldn't forget His precepts. His righteousness is everlasting righteousness, and we need to pay attention to that and hold fast to His law. Put that law away in our hearts. That's the message there from Psalm 119, 140 through 142. Psalm 19, 160 is another psalm, the entirety it begins. Let me read that for you, the entirety. Psalm 160, 119, 160 is where I'm going. Psalm 119, 160. He says, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. We want to secure our hearts. I don't think there's anybody in this room tonight that would say, well, I'm going to fasten my heart to lies. I'm going to fasten my heart to things that are temporary. I'm going to fasten my heart to something that one day will perish. I'm purposefully and willfully going to choose a cursing over a blessing. I'm going to purposefully choose death over life. I don't think that's the way we think. But the fact is that oftentimes we do that very thing without thinking. We don't fasten our heart with purpose to the Word of God, to the promises of God and the power of God. And then we don't look at the Word of God as the Word of truth. And we don't look at His righteous judgments that will last through eternity. So we miss out on this anchor for the soul. You think of an anchor, and it's a simple thing. It's a nautical definition, even in the Scripture as we read it in Hebrews. It's a heavy object. It's attached to a vessel or a cable or some rope that's cast overboard of the boat, and the purpose is to keep that particular vessel steadfast in one place, either by weights or by its flukes, which they grip the bottom on that anchor. And so we look at that. It's, you know, a rigid point of support for securing a particular rope, a source of security and stability. Is your soul anchored to something? You know, in the beginning we talked about an unsecured heart. And we really do live in a time where our hearts are unsecured. They're unanchored. They're not moored to something that's strong. And in the Scriptures, we know that we're talking about God. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, but we realize your soul is anchored to something. It always is. And it is either anchored to the Lord or the world. In the sense of the world, John writes in 1 John 4 and 5, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. Or we can be anchored to the Word of God, but you are no longer part of the world. Choose you to come out of the world so it hates you. You know, we all have that option. We all have that choice. Go back to Psalm 119 and let's read verses 9 through 16. Psalm 119, 9 through 16. The psalmist here writes, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all the riches, I will meditate upon your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see the wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks in longing for your judgments at all times. Listen, when we look this over and we see that this individual is looking to have his way in life cleansed, he's taking God's word for what it actually is, and he's applying that whole word to his heart. In verse 10, his whole heart, he applies that to. And with his whole heart, he sought out God. He says in verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. He's anchoring his heart to the Lord that he knows. And so we really have those two choices. We can anchor our hearts to the world. We can deal with the bad company of the world. We can deal with evil companions and corrupt morals, as Paul wrote. We can have that bad peer pressure reign in our lives, that we are listening to other people all the time. We can anchor ourselves to God. It's all our choice. We can avoid the filthy movies. We can go see the filthy movies. We can shun bad language, or we can attach ourselves to it. We can not listen to suggestive kinds of music and things, or we can put our whole heart into that, and we can, of course, consider the magazines and televisions and all those things that go on around us. What are we anchoring ourselves to? When I come home from work, if I'm opening my Bible and studying God's Word, then I'm anchoring myself to God's Word. This little light piece of paper and leather actually becomes a very powerful anchor. you know, the largest ship in the world doesn't have an anchor as powerful as the Lord Jesus Christ and these words. Solomon himself, he said, that I may discern between good and evil. Jesus said, either make the tree good or make the fruit good or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. We have that choice. And who we attach ourselves to, who we anchor ourselves to makes a difference. In the world, a word rather of God, the anchor of our soul, Hebrews 6:19. We just sang a wonderful song about that. And Matthew 7:25 is the very foundation, that rock, that stability, which is Christ Jesus through His Word. And we listen to Jesus as the rock we anchor to. He only is my rock, the psalmist says, and my salvation and my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Again, we're anchoring to something that keeps us from being moved. We want to stay on that steady course. We want to stay with God. We want to stay with the Word of God. And we want to have something powerful enough to allow that to happen. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about them drinking of that spiritual rock which followed them, which was Christ. So we have Christ. He's our rock. And one of the ways that we anchor ourselves is like the Bereans, the Thessalonians, they anchored themselves to the Word of God. They did that by searching the Scriptures daily and investigating. They learn what is right and acceptable in the sight of the Lord. As the psalmist tells us, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving thanks, they lead to a quiet and peaceable life and godliness and reverence. And these things are good and acceptable in the sight of the Savior. Those things anchor us to the Word of God. They don't let us sway and go in many different directions. And of course, it all depends. Am I attaching those things to my heart? Am I securing my heart with those things, or in my heart an unsecured heart? Which means I can have all this Scripture in my head and still not be anchored because it's not in my heart. It's one thing to have it up in your head, and the idea of the Bible heart is that it's making application. It's a part of your life. It's something you can't get away with. And again, we can be anchored to the Word of God. We shouldn't be children being tossed to and fro about with every wind of every doctrine, and yet so many people today who firmly believe in Jesus Christ, they're not anchored. They don't have Christ anchored in their hearts. They have the Word Christ in their heart. They have the Word Jesus in their heart. And they have their perceptions or preconceptions about who He is and what He is. But it's not through the Word. James himself says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and without reproach. And it will be given him. And that's where we get our anchor from the Word of God. We need to be anchored to that Word. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, Paul says. That's how you anchor. We have to have that anchor, and that anchor has to be affixed to our hearts. And again, it's more than just memorizing. It has to do with believing and applying the principles of God. Paul wrote in Timothy to, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, goodness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. There we are, anchoring ourselves to the things that God wants us to be tightly affixed to. So we anchor to the Word. It begins with a desire. A desire to have a pure soul. Something that God alone can give us. You remember, it's the blood of Christ we talked about this morning. You know, that blood washes us, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That blood was shed on Calvary's cross, preordained before the foundation of the world. And we realize that, you know, that happened nearly 2,000 years ago. But that blood is still there. Because Jesus is alive in heaven, His blood was shed at that cross, and His blood can be applied to our own selves through our faith and obedience, through baptism, where we come in contact with that blood, and that blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's the time in which we're added to the church. That's the time in which we start securing our hearts by the word of truth, by the word of God, by that word which is sweeter than the honeycomb and very desirable. And so that, you know, that's really the whole message. We need to make sure that we're not living with the words of God and with the knowledge of God, but nothing attached to our hearts. We need to have that desire to have a pure soul. And so we need to secure our hearts. You don't want it to be like a marriage without a relationship. You know, we talked this morning about the idea of a pure, fervent love. And the idea that, you know, a person can get married, they say their vows, and then they say, well, wife, husband, I'll see you next week. That doesn't work. We're not increasing our love for one another. We're not developing a relationship. And yet people do that with God, with Christ, with the Word of God. They hear those things. You know, I believe in Jesus, they'll even say, but they can't allow that to attach to their hearts and motivate them to live in obedience to the will of God. That's what a pure soul will do. So indifference is an enemy to a Christian spirituality. Disconnected means spiritual death. Your soul is always anchored to something. We mentioned that. And we just need to decide whether my soul is going to be anchored to this world or is my soul going to be anchored to the Word of God. And we remember that the world is bad company. You know, you just go out to the world today, you look around and realize, talk to people at work, talk to people in passing, and listen to what other people are doing when they're talking. Watch what you see on the television, hear on the radio, and you know this world is not a really great place. There are people that are way off base. You don't have to be a Christian to know that the world's topsy-turvy. And it's not always just people. We have to have a soul that is filled with spiritual things. We have to have a soul that is undefiled by the things of this world. And so you can't have an anchor that's made out of styrofoam that floats. It has to be made out of something solid. And in this case, the Word of God. You don't choose, then the choice will be made for you. There's really only two options that we read about in Deuteronomy. It's either a blessing and life, or it's a death and a cursing. Desire to have your soul pure. The judgment day's coming, and I guarantee you that you need to make that judgment on your own before it becomes too late. What's going to happen on judgment day? Well, that's pretty clear. Because Jesus has told us. We don't have to guess like many people of the world seem to be doing. The book of Matthew chapter 25, we can read about that judgment day. Matthew chapter 25 and at verse 31, it tells us that the Son of Man will come in all His glory and the holy angels with Him, and He will sit on His throne of glory, and all the nations shall be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the very foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the righteous will say to Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you, or did see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer to them and say, assuredly I say, inasmuch as you did it for one of the least of these my brethren, you did it for me. And so that's going to happen on Judgment Day. If we've attached our heart to the Word of God, we've attached our heart to the will of God, and when the Judgment Day comes, we may be just so surprised that we've lived a life doing what God has asked us to do. That's what was in our heart. And we may be surprised at the kind of things He says to us. But then you have the curse and the death side. Verse 41, He will answer and say to those on His left, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting life, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And then they will also answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And He will answer them saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And here's where it gets interesting, because those people that were on the right hand and went off into everlasting life that was promised didn't really know that they were going to, that was going to, they didn't know that they spent their whole life, that they did things that were so pleasing to the Lord. They were anchored in their hearts to the Lord. The people that were on the left side, though, here, it was the same thing. When didn't we do that? I thought I spent my whole life doing great things for you, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because they weren't doing the will of God. They didn't have that anchor for their soul. And He says in verse 46, and these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. That's what's going to happen on Judgment Day. And we need to make those decisions before that day comes. What's the decision you have to make is pretty simple. Psalm 611, look for the prophet. Not the prophet as somebody who tells the future, but the value, the prophet. What's the prophet in obeying Christ? Well, if we obey Christ, on Judgment Day, we'll hear those words. Come and inherit the kingdom. You're faithful. If we don't obey Christ, then we will hear those other words to be taken off into everlasting punishment. Nothing on this earth is worth the everlasting punishment. Jesus came into this world. He died upon a cross. His blood was shed. And He rose from the grave victorious over sin and death. And He suffered all those things so that we would have opportunity simply to obey Him and live a life with our soul anchored, with our hearts anchored to that which is true. Today, if you know the gospel, you've heard that message that we must hear, and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess Jesus before men and be baptized for the remission of your sins, then now is the day to do that. Because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. So whatever need you may have, I certainly encourage you to accept the Lord's invitation this night. Come forward as we stand and sing song number 611.